All right. Good morning, Church on the Rock. Woo-hoo! Oh, I'm so looking forward to doing that and actually hearing a response. So good. And man, it is really good to see people again. People, good friends. We've got some people coming back and visiting just to be able to unplug for a while and visit with us. I know there's some folks who have met us online who are here. It is so good. And for all of you who are back at home, just keep on praying that we can more and more of us can gather together. And I hope you can sit back and enjoy our time together here online too. I just want to say, I don't do this because we know so many people here at Church on the Rock, but there's a dear friend of mine, Casey Veenvliet, and he was one of the first people that started. He was at the very first prayer meeting that we started to plant this church, and like he's turning 70. I just like, what, today? So he's not here with us, so we love you, Casey, and I just want to say, man, thank you. And I know Casey and Willie, they have taken in people over the years and loved them. And one of the young men that they took in years ago, Jordy, he passed away this last week. And God bless you for your mercy and your care for people. I love people who are Jesus to other people. So thank you. I'm going to dig into some prayer and we're going to open up God's word. So here we go. Oh, God, you are good. You are good. You are good. Life is hard, but you are good. And Lord, as we remind ourselves of these truths, Lord, I pray that they will not just bounce off our minds, but sink deeply into our souls. God, get them into our souls because life is hard, but you are so good. So Lord, as we hit our last message in this series, Lord, I pray that you will tie up any loose ends. Help me to say the things that need to be said. And Lord, help us to hear your voice through this all in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. As a lot of you know, that you learn a lot more by teaching than by listening. And I've learned so much through this whole series. And I've been reminded again and again by his truth. And it has done a work in my heart. I hope it's done a work in your heart. And I know some of you go, oh yeah, that was a good message. And you know, I'm not sure if you've ever popped on our website, and all our messages are there, and you can send links to friends if you want. Be welcome to do that. Share that around as we want to get God's messages out there. Just as a review, I remember I started this whole series as saying that different people's pain affects them differently. But I was just scrolling a little bit, listening to people's stories, and it just made me smile. There's this one man that is a speaker, and he says, I just hate this time. I'm in so much pain. Please pray for me, because I'm used to jumping on a jet, going everywhere, speaking places. And I'm going, really? Wow, you asked for prayer for that? Like, internal voice, suck it up, buttercup. And then the next person I scroll by, and he's like in a hospital bed with a tube in his spine, and he says, I'm in pain every day, and okay, I'll pray for you. And then all of a sudden, I just took a step back and said, no, it's weird, isn't it? No matter what pain you are, other people can judge it in different levels, but whatever pain you're in pain, right? And that sort of screams loudly to you. And no matter what other people think about it, whether it's a big one or a little one, pain all just really screams to us. And often, exactly what Ashley was saying, the first thing that happens when our life comes apart, when trials happen, when errors on the dashboard of life seem to flash again and again, we keep on asking, why God? Why God? Why God? Isn't that, like Ashley said, that's the first thing that comes, why God? And I get that. And sometimes Christians sort of focus on one idea, and we said, well, that's not really helpful. Some people might say, well, did you have enough faith? Have you prayed enough? And that's a good question, but that's not the only reason why trials come or don't come. There is a thing called God's discipline, but not everything that happens is by his hand or by his perfect will. There are all kinds of reasons why trials come. We make our own problems, and sometimes we actually pay for our own problems. But guess what? Karma is not how life is. This is not how God operates. So instead of trying to focus on one reason why, the scripture becomes really clear. It says this, trust me, just trust me. And the whole story of Job was that there was his reason, and his reason isn't everybody else's reason. That was a story. It's not the story of everybody's story. But the interesting thing at the end of Job, he never found out the story. He never found out. He's basically, we don't need to know the story. We don't need to know what source it comes from, but we do need to know that God is good. God can be trusted. So message number one is God is trustable. And guess what? You don't really need to know. You just run to God like Ashley was saying. Second week, we looked at a theological principle, and it's awesome. It touches on so many areas. It's now and not yet, now and not yet. We get to experience some things with God now, like a foretaste. Like we're talking about Pringles. You get a little taste of God, and you go, wow, that's what joy is like? I just tasted the Pringle of joy in worship. Hey, wow, that's awesome. I love that. And so we get it now, but sometimes we don't experience. But in heaven, that's the not yet. Could you imagine? C.S. Lewis says heaven is this, you know, they get down to the serious business of joy. And I can just picture it, because if it's true that there's joy in heaven in the presence of angels, not angels because they don't understand it, but all the people of God having excruciating joy over one person becoming a Christian, as the earth turns and people become Christians all the time, every second. Heaven is a serious place of joy. We get a little foretaste of it now, so we get the now, but not yet. The full amount of joy, the full amount of peace comes later. And so as we're trying to figure out that whole principle, we talked about there's this foretaste now, but sometimes there'll be a face-to-face. That's very much true in our relationship. God speaks, and he whispers to me. But someday, I'm going to be face to face, and there will be no whisper. I look through a glass darkly now, and I don't get it sometimes. Sometimes I get it wrong. But guess what? Someday is going to be face to face, so I have a taste now and not yet. Now and not yet. There's this foretaste. Well, will become this face to face. We looked at this in particular in healing. God, for some reasons, decides to heal people. Maybe to show his kindness and compassion. Maybe to show his power as a signpost. I'm here. So God sometimes heals. But guess what? Sometimes he doesn't. And sometimes he does, and sometimes he doesn't. There's a now and not yet. And so after that message, I've had more and more people say, you know, I'm actually praying for people to get healed these days. I go, great. I always talk about the Wayne Gretzky principle. I think I've talked about it several times. He said, you miss every shot you don't take, right? So just keep on praying for people who need healing. And so we'd say, let's ask now, but praise him in the not yet. Praise him in the not yet. There's things that happen that don't yet. So we ask you, God, please. And he says, not yet. So I'm going to praise you in the middle of the not yet. I'll ask you now. And then the third week, last week, we talked about just rejoicing in trouble. Why? Because it draws you close to God. It shows you it's about God and not the gifts. It's about God and not the gifts. And that's exactly what Ashley was talking about. God, I'm going to worship you because it's about you and not the gifts that you give me. We talked about gaining the beauty of Christ in us, the character of Christ. And that mental change in direction from worrying, from bitterness, to be able to rejoice. It's good for you and everybody around you. So we talked about holding God's hands through this. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 13 says, don't grow weary and lose heart in the midst of trials. Don't grow weary and lose heart. I was looking at a commentator about that, and they said actually Aristotle wrote about that Greek word about losing heart. He says it's like one who relaxes and collapses before the finish line. One who relaxes and collapses before the finish line. It's like, oh, this is so hard. Life is so hard. Oh, I give up. And you just stop running. You've seen some of those pictures, I'm sure, on social media of the long-distance runners, and they just like, the finish line is right there, and they're just like, they're done. I saw one recently, and the number two guy came up and carried him across the finish line. And that's what the local church is. This is why we do local church, because we're here to push each other on in love and good deeds and help us across the finish line. So don't stop wherever you're asked to do. Hold his hand through it. what's left to talk about, Dave? What's left? Should we go on to the next subject? No, no, no. There's at least two more things that cover in the same subject we're going to touch on today. Two more things. Here it is. It's more than just holding on to God. It's just more than making it. Here it is. Our suffering serves others. It's more than just holding on to God. I can make it. I'm going to grit my teeth. I'm going to persevere. I'm going to endure through. Actually, our suffering serves others. There's a giant section of scripture that talks about it. I've sort of pared it down a little bit, but we're going to look at 2 Corinthians 1, 3 to 5. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 to 5. If you're at home, you're welcome to turn to that 2 Corinthians 1, 3 to 5. It says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. Have you ever been comforted? Guess where that source has come from? It has come from God the Father. He comforts us in all our troubles. He comforts us in all our troubles. We could just put a period behind that and say, thank you, God, for your comfort. Thank you. You are amazing. You're wonderful. You are absolutely amazing for comforting us. But the period doesn't come there. It says, so he comforts us in all our troubles so that what? We can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. God has given us. It's true that God is the source of all comfort. God is the source of all comfort. And there's a reason why that is. There's lots of reasons. But this scripture focuses in on one reason why. Notice he says, listen, we're going through troubles. We're going through troubles. And so we understand what troubles feel like. So now we can help others. But guess what? God is also the author of all our comfort. And it's the same with him. He has gone through God, the Trinity, through Jesus Christ, has gone through horrible pain. When God comes and comforts you, guess what? He knows what it's like to have a friend betray them. He knows what it's like somebody that you trusted so well, somebody that you put so much hope in, to turn around and stab him in the back. He knows what physical pain is like. He knows what excruciating physical pain is like. And yet he endured it, yes, to pay for our sin, but also he is the God of all comfort because he knows. He knows. So when we're troubled, we'll be able to give the same comfort that God has given us. And so this is why it's important to go to God like Ashley had. I know this Thursday, kind of to be really honest, I was really low. I was quite low this Thursday. I was exhausted. I was just discouraged with wonderful city things that were happening. So I just stopped. I said, okay, God, I'm discouraged. I just wrote out a long prayer to him, pages and pages. I wrote out some of my frustrations. I wrote out some of my pain. And then I asked God, what would you say to me? Can I just say, the God of all comfort is real. He comes. And the faintest whisper, comes and can lift the heaviest pain. The faintest whisper can lift the heaviest pain. He gave me peace that passed understanding, and it was a taste. It was a taste. Someday I'm going to get the full face-to-face peace, right? But until that time, we still have to do stuff here on that planet together. But God not only comforts us, but gives us understanding to help other people. This is now not modern-day counseling. If you've gone to be a counselor, that's great, and God bless you for doing that. There are people that I could not be a counselor, so God bless you when you be a counselor. But in modern-day counseling, the counselee, there are a few assumptions. Number one, we assume in counseling that the counselee knows, and so the counselor is not supposed to talk about their life. Counselor is not supposed to give wisdom from their life. They're supposed to sort of draw it out of the person. Basically, I can't tell you my story because you have your story. Your story is different than my story. That might be very true for the trained, but we are invited, we here are invited to actually learn wisdom from our trials to be able to pass on that general wisdom to other people. So how do we do this? How do we do this? There's a person called Paul Tournier that sort of outlined this as understanding counseling taken right from this verse. He says, first of all, stop and listen to people's pain. Just stop and listen. This is where the scriptures in Romans chapter 12, verse 15 says, we weep with those who weep. So instead of saying, okay, you got that problem here, why don't you try this? Those of us who are fixers, this is where we do not shine, right? we jump right in with the wrenches before starting to say, okay, hold on, no. You are a person with emotion. I need to crawl into that canoe with you right now. I need to stop and mourn with those who mourn. So first of all, in understanding others, we need to stop and listen to the pain. Hear the pain, understand, and don't fix it. And then we need to remember how God has helped us with similar feelings. And then offer our story. If it's not asked for, then it's not asked for. That's good. But sometimes the pain which God has helped us with, we develop this thing called a life story, where we can actually mourn with people, offer them our story, and then if it's invited, to share it. I can't tell you how many times people have talked to me about this person, it makes me so angry, and this is what they did, and it was an unjust situation. Or this was so abusive, and yeah, it was. And I said, what do we do? And I don't know. That's why I'm a bad counselor. I go, wow, that's bad. Which doesn't really help a lot of people. But so I stop and I go, wow, okay, I know that feeling, and that's a horrible feeling. I gotta stop and mourn with them. That's to be so angry and to be so bitter, that's horrible. I get that, and it makes sense. You had injustices happen to you. Yes, I have. And then I remember I've had injustices happen to me too. I go, yeah, well, that's happened to me. And I've had to try and deal with how do you deal with bitterness? How do you deal with flashbacks? How do you deal with forgiveness? I offer that. And sometimes it's taken up and they say, how did you deal with it? I had to take every flashback back to God. It was like a rock out of my backpack. That's how I had to do it. I forgive him for this. I give that to you. And then another thought came back, and well, I'll forgive him for that. And that actually took me months to do. And how can I talk about that? Because I've been hurt deeply. And guess what? Now, because I've been hurt deeply, instead of turning to bitterness, instead of turning to anger and vengeance and all that, I decide to press into God, the God of all comfort. And that God of all comfort has come and given me strategies and help. And now I have a life message now I can share with other people, right? And now, guess what? Because of that, the more junk you go through in life, the more of a great life message you have. I think I got a big enough one. Okay, God? I'm good. We have a life message. Paul outlines his life message several times, doesn't he? He goes and encourages people. I've been beaten so many times. I've been stoned and left for dead. I've been shipwrecked. You know, great. Thanks for your encouragement, Paul. But part of you goes, he's been through pain. And the God of all comfort comforted him. I got to figure out how that happened. And guess what? God comforts you in your pain. And guess what? He's sown life messages all through the local church. And so God speaks through your devotions and through your time with him directly. But he also speaks through his church to you, to the people who have built up life messages. And that's why we need the local church to press in close to each other so those God's comfort can come through other people. And guess what? When he does that, then guess what happens? He will trade your pain for something beautiful. And I know those of you who know scripture well, you know what scripture I'm talking about, don't you? You're already writing it down in your journals. I can see that. Okay, I'm going to read it to you. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 3, because it goes on. It's so good. And this is actually a sort of continuation. It's in context of the Messiah. Messiah is going to come, and these are the things the Messiah is going to do. It says, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. Say, you have gone through something, your life, this part of your life has burnt up. I'm going to turn those ashes into something beautiful. The oil of joy instead of mourning. Are you in mourning right now? Yes. You might need to go through that season of mourning for a while, but guess what? I'm going to pour an oil of joy on you and over you. The garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair. And then guess what you'll be called? They will be called oaks of righteousness. You know an oak tree, right? Oh, man, right? Some of you who burn wood, you know they are strong and thick, and they take a long time to grow. But they withstand storms because of how strong they are. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord, what for the display of his splendor. And so sometimes we have ashes in our lives, sometimes we have mourning, but go to God, and he, the God of all comfort, will give you the beauty and the joy of that. And you will become an oak of righteousness for his glory that other people can come to. So let your life message serve others. Okay, Dave, I know here at Church on the Rock we get super practical. What does that mean? All right. Okay, young parents, all right? Awesome, isn't it? Having little children who are complete angels, and they pay complete attention to you, and they never are disobedient or run around or tear holes through your walls. They never do that. So I know you're trying to make it, right? You're going to try to make it until they get to school, and then it's the teacher's problem. I get it. So you're trying to make it. But in the midst of trying to make it, could you also press into God and say, okay, how do I make it? What things can I learn? How can I make this into a life message that can serve others? How can we make this into a life message that can serve others? Because I want to let my life message serve others. Are you struggling with depression? I get it. I get a little dose of that myself. And you ask God to take away, I do too, all right? I get that. But in the midst of that, can you figure out, God, you be the God of all comfort. Come and heal me now. Come and help me now. But in the midst of that, can I build a life message that can go out and ripple out to others? Can I be an oak of righteousness that God could speak through to the community of believers? That is the beauty of letting your suffering serve. That's the beauty of letting your suffering serve. There's a second way our suffering serves, and it's not specifically a verse that I can turn to, but it's all sprinkled all through the scripture. And when I try to find a verse on it, there's a little section in 1 Peter 3, 13 to 16. I'll read it to see if we can pull it out a little bit, but it sounds a little better in the examples. 1 Peter 3, 13 to 16. It says, Now, who will want to harm you if you're eager to do good? And that makes sense, right? If you're just doing good to people, nobody's going to try and, like, hurt you. And then you go, Peter, really? Come on. But even if you do suffer for doing what's right, even if you're just doing what's right, but you suffer for it, God will reward you for it, and that is our eye on eternity. So don't worry or be afraid of their threats. Instead, what should we do? You must worship Christ as Lord of your life. Keep your conscience clear. Then if people speak against you, they'll be ashamed when they see the good life you live because you belong to Christ. In other words, you're suffering for doing something that's good. And all of a sudden, he says, well, what do you do? Be better. Just be better than them. Just be better than them. And so they'll go, oh, man, every time they just are so good. Yeah, right? But they'll know deep down. They'll know deep down that this is God speaking through your life. So we go through trials well as a witness. We go through trials well as a witness. There are so many biblical stories on this, it's hard to stop. I'm going to just tell you the obvious one. The obvious one I think many of your minds would jump to. As Paul and Silas and Timothy travel to Philippi. And they go and meet some people worshiping by the river. It's not enough males in the Jewish worship to plant a synagogue. And so as they talk, they actually win a Jewish businesswoman to the Lord. It's really exciting. And in the midst of this, he's traveling around. He's walking through Philippi, and a slave girl who's tormented by evil spirits comes and starts you know, just screaming after them. Basically, Paul gets annoyed, turns around, and casts the evil spirit out. And she's number two in the church. Could you imagine being a church planter? You got a Jewish businesswoman and a formerly demon-possessed slave girl. Like, diversity right there. Oh, it's pretty cool. And so the businessmen who were very abusive to this young lady, got in an uproar, and they got the city in an uproar. In Acts chapter 16, verse 22 to 23, it goes like this. The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be, here we go, I want you to pay attention to this. If you fell asleep through this part, okay, listen. They got them to be stripped and beaten with rods. Oh, my goodness. Come, be a pastor. Come to seminary. This is a great thing. You're going to be stripped naked and beaten half to death with a rod. Wow. So that's what happened. They were unjustly beaten, unjustly. They were embarrassed about the whole, they had to have been. After, it says, they had been severely flogged. So it wasn't like the tap thing, right? I can't imagine the scars on Paul. Can you imagine how many scars Paul had? I wonder if he's going to keep them in heaven. We'd be able to see them. That's interesting. They were thrown in prison. So in the swirl of emotion, the anger over injustice, all just the embarrassment about being stripped, they were placed in an inner cell and their feet were put in stocks, which means they couldn't rest. They would be uncomfortable with these feet in stocks. They couldn't lie down and actually sleep. So what would you do? All right, form a protest, write a letter, right? What would you do, right? And so we all know what happened, right? That's Acts 16, 25, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. By the way, in the scriptures, most often when we hear the word prayer, it's not an internal thing. That's much more modern. That's much more modern thing. That is very much an ancient thing. Was all the prayers were out loud. So they were praying and singing hymns to God. And get this. The other prisoners were listening to them. Yeah, great. Isn't that awesome? Like they were thrown in the depths. Something's echoing. The worst of the worst is that they're singing and praying out loud. An angel of the Lord came and opened up Jim. The jailer was about to kill himself, but he turns around and actually gets saved. He's number three in the church at Philippi. But the point I want to point there with this story is this point. Others are listening to you. In the midst of your worst of your worst of your worst of your worst, others are listening to you. Others are listening to you. That counts for other Christians, young ones. This is why some people ask me, like, why do pastors' kids, you know? Why do they do what they do, right? Well, some of the reasons why they do, because they hear all the junk that happens all the time. And guess what? No matter what you're going through, people are listening. Your kids are listening. A fallen world is listening. There are people that are listening to you. Others are listening to you. So we need to suffer well as a witness. Suffer well as a witness. We could peel back so many stories in the Old Testament. Joseph was unjustly accused, but he served so well he got promoted. Daniel, very similar. He was so unjustly treated, and yet he continued to serve God. Some of the kings honored God through him. Jesus suffered so well on the cross. He looked and said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. He just suffered so well. The thief said, I want to join you. You're awesome. The centurion said, surely this is the Son of God. Not everybody came, but guess what? He suffered so well as a witness. He suffered so well as a witness that people actually came to God. And so, we're in the midst of our junk, right? And so, we need to learn about our life message to serve others through our suffering, just to be able to let our suffering serve others. And yet, also, it is also a witness to those around us. I do a mentoring call with pastors, and one of the pastors was sharing just something he'd gone through. He was also a businessman, and he'd lost everything. He said he had lost everything in a business deal that had gone wrong. He went bankrupt, lost his home, lost his savings. He was cleaned out. And so somebody that both was a pastor and had this business, he ended up on welfare and then eventually delivering carpet to people to try and make his ends meet. And he said they often didn't have enough money for food. He said he didn't plan it this way. He didn't blame God for it. But in the middle of it, he said they had to get down on their knees. He said he had three small kids. They had to pray, God, we don't have food today. You said that you would provide for your people. Would you provide for your people? And invariably, food would show up somehow. Either people would deliver some groceries, or somebody would drop off some money, or something happened where they would be able to feed. And guess what he said? After years of doing this, getting back on his feet so he could have, like, you know, a way to make some money, get back into the ministry and all that kind of stuff. He said he grew up a family that trusted Jesus. Why? Because they suffered well and let it be a witness to their kids. It let it be a witness to their kids. I remember when Helen Fellin broke her wrist. Oh my goodness. She had to go through surgeries, all that kind of stuff. And how she does it, right? We're going to the hospital, she's bringing donuts for people. She's praying for nurses and doctors. She's giving a prophetic word for some. It's bad, right? Let's not pretend this doesn't hurt. Let's not pretend it's not inconvenience. Let's pretend it's bad. And I can't figure out what, but I'm going to believe that God is good. And I'm going to press in and get close to him for my own soul. But guess what? I'm also going to suffer to serve others. I'm going to suffer to serve others. John Newton, the writer of Amazing Grace, he wrote this. I had to say it, just have to say it. By the way, I'll ask our worship team to come on up. It said, some Christians are called to endure a disproportionate amount of suffering. Such Christians are a spectacle of grace to the church. Like flaming bushes unconsumed, and cause us to ask like Moses, why is this bush not burnt up? The strength and stability of these believers can be explained only by the miracle of God's sustaining grace. And so, like the burning bush, some of us have the opportunity to go through a lot of pain. And so we do that well. We suffer to allow our suffering to serve other people. My good friends. I don't want any of you to suffer anymore. I really don't. In fact, I pray about that a lot. You ask me to pray for you, and I pray that God would get you out of these troubles. I do. But can I be honest? I do slip in some prayers that in the midst of it, that God would bring you closer to him. That God would bring those who are around you closer to him. Because at the end of the day, forever is forever. Forever is forever. And I gotta say this. If you're at home or even here, if you have never made your faith personal, forever is forever. And this is not just religion. It's not showing up to church. You know, you're sitting in your own homes, right? This is a time to have a relationship with God who has suffered and died and knows and can be your comfort. And you can do this. You can step into a relationship with him even today, even like right now, and just say, God, I want you as my father. I want you as my father. I can't do this life alone. I've messed up all the time. But I believe your son died and rose again to forgive all my sins. Come in and make me your child. You just need to pray that just between you and him. And guess what? You become a child of God. The God of all comfort. The God of all comfort. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that every opportunity to suffer, and life is hard. It's an opportunity to draw closer to you, to allow our suffering to serve others. God, I pray that you will remind us, give us your grace within to do that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Dave, thanks so much for going through this series with us.
Yeah.
I think it's so poignant for, you know, what we're sort of dealing with as a society. It seems to me like our heroes are kind of way off, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know, starting from like, well, even with philosophy, with like the Superman or you know, all that, and then going to like John Wayne, who doesn't shed a tear.
Yeah.
And like even like Captain Marvel, right? Who, you know, swoops in, saves the universe, and then disappears and is gone. You know, doesn't have time to mingle with the peons. So our the heroes of our cultures are sort of untouchable. They're other than.
Yeah.
How do we as believers sort of break through that understanding of what it's meant to be a strong person and you know, and break that distance and relate to each other as real people. We don't do community well in our culture. So what are some of the things that we as believers can intentionally cultivate in our lives in order to do this well, to share with each other?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I think often we fall off on either side. I think some people go, oh, yeah, it's nothing big. You know, I just, you know, nothing happened to me. It's all good. And we think it's sort of like a personality thing, and we hide some of our pain. And then some people just like they live and pain is their identity. And so I think to start off with, I say, yeah, that hurts. It sucks. I'm losing sleep over it. But you know what? God is there and he's done this for me. He's done this and he's helped me in this. So I think you need both sides of the story. I think as we share our stories the biggest part is really, really to come to God, isn't it? Like in the midst of it, instead of turning to bitterness, it's starting to turn to whatever it is. And we think, okay, that's job number one done. But then job number two is to be able to learn how to share it well without, you know, going, oh, my life is horrible on one side, or say, oh, yeah, no problem. To be able to say, I'm hurt, I'm not doing well, but God is my strength. And I think people look for that. They want that. They're asking for real, but they're not asking for real. And actually, the Paul Tierney gave a perfect picture. He said, somebody's going over a waterfall in a canoe with no paddle. And they're going, help, help. And so the idea is somebody sort of, what we need to do is we need to crawl in the canoe and say, we're in a mess too. But we need to bring the paddle of how God has helped us. And then we can help paddle ourselves and the people around us out of that. So,
and I think that's fantastic. As a general rule, is it true that every rule has some exceptions?
All the time.
Okay, so would an exception be, or rather, maybe explain to us what some of the exceptions would be in terms of sort of jumping into that boat with somebody. Is there a point in time at which we say, you know what, I think maybe me sharing your pain right now is not what you need. Maybe you need something more. And how do you handle that tension?
Yeah, and that's the beautiful thing about God being alive in us, and the Holy Spirit will direct you, which is so beautiful. Yeah, sometimes the Holy Spirit will say, no, you need to give them, the spur each other on to love and good deeds. They need a little bit of the kick to get them out of their, you know, swirling depression. Or maybe they've been kicked enough and they just need to be, you sit down and talk to them. So again, I think we need to listen to the Spirit of God to find out, you know, what would you have me share with this person? What would you have me do with this person?
Yeah. And I think like that's exactly what James says. If you need wisdom, ask, right? Yeah. Just ask. And I think there can be times where somebody can, you start to get into a conversation with someone, you realize that I'm out of my depth here, right?
Yeah,
and so to pray for wisdom, to be able to maybe know how to move forward when you know you're sort of out of your depth, recommend, you know, professional counseling at that point.
And we have counselors here at Church on the Rock that we recommend, and that's a good thing. Yeah, mm-hmm. There's a good thing.
So one final question, it definitely does relate to what we've already been talking about, but if let me give you a scenario to help illustrate this, okay? So somebody comes to me and says, James, can you talk to me a little bit about, I just want to tell you about the pain I've been going through. And they kind of explain their situation. After 5 minutes, they're like, can you relate? What do you think? Whoa, let me tell you my story, right? And 45 minutes later, I'm still telling them my story.
Evil!
How do we get to that point where we are able to share our story from a healthy perspective? Like
100%,
it's actually going to be positive, and it's not just going to be us vomiting over somebody else with our pain.
Yeah, you don't just jump in the canoe. You got to bring a paddle with you. Yeah, you got to say how God actually helped you out of it. And I this is why it's really dangerous. It's in the scriptures, so I preach it, right? To comfort those with the comfort we've received. So it's a thing that we do. But it's dangerous because a lot of people don't mourn with those who mourn. We just say, oh, yeah, you think you got it bad? I got it worse. And you go, that does not help anybody. You need to stop and mourn. And only if you're invited to share your story do you share your story. And then you have to talk about the paddle that you bring with you. That you've actually helped people out of. I get to teach at a seminary, and sometimes seminarians say, so how much do we share about the problems we're going through? So my answer to them is, well, have you found a solution with Jesus yet? Because if you haven't, if you're still in the mess of it, don't share your story. I'm in a mess. The end.
The end.
Actually, you're supposed to be comforted by God so you can actually help other people. So always bring a paddle. So whether you need counseling, get wise people around you, get, work through whatever issue you're working on before you start to share it with other people. So you always bring a paddle.
Dave, I really appreciate that this message this morning sort of came towards the end of the whole thing.
Yeah.
Because pain can be a black hole, can it?
It can be. Yeah.
And I think, the ability to suffer well and then to use that in order to help people, it helps us, even through our own pain, right? Because it gives us that right perspective.
Yeah.
So that's amazing. Would you be able to offer us a prayer as we head out? And maybe, again, as you mentioned, not pray for more pain. I just want to...
that comes enough.
but the grace to go through that well and to help others through it.
Yeah, let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, you are good. You are so good all the time. And you did not stay separate from us, but you sent your only Son, part of the Trinity, to understand, to feel every single way that we feel pain, and yet was able to be victorious and move through it, God. So God, we all need your help. Life is hard. Life is hard in so many ways. So God, I pray that you would draw close to us in the good times, draw close to us when it is difficult. Lord, help us to run to you. Just run as fast as we can and hook onto you as close as we can, God. And God, you will make life messages. You will do that. I know that will come. First of all, let us just be draw close to you, the God of all comfort. We look forward to the messages that you will bring in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, well, that wraps up this morning. Once again, thank you very much for joining us here this morning. If you do want to do tithes this morning, there's a desk over on the side there. You can do envelopes or there's a machine. And we ask that you would kindly sort of make your way through the gym fairly quickly out to the parking lot. And it's a wonderful day out there, so we can spend some time together out there. And as you're going, would you be able to grab your chair, maybe even another one, and put those away? That would be a great help for us. For those of you at home, thanks for coming. If you want to clean up your living room for a couple minutes, share our pain, you're welcome to do so. Have a great rest of the day, okay?